Hi, I'm Peter Haddock, and welcome to a very special 50th edition, can you believe it, of my podcast series. And today I've got some really exciting guests, the people that have actually got me to the 50, and also the people that I've worked with for many years. And we're going to do something pretty special for the 50th, because we're talking the three C's with some excellent communicators. Three C's, my folks, stand for collective, collaborative communications. And if you're listening to this, we're partway there, because you're listening to us talking about those three means that you're interested in how to communicate in a digital-led first way. So great to hear that I've got three superb guests on today. We're going to start with Louise Carney, then it's Nick Drew and Mark Anthony, and all of those beautiful people are the communicators that I look up to, that I go to advice for, and that work with me to make things exciting and to make things interesting so that we can push this universe of the Earthworks community forward in a digital way and in a print way and in a community and in a collaborative way. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a fun podcast, folks. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Start with Louise. Louise, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm not sure I've got your kind of energy. I don't think anyone's got your kind of energy, Peter, but so there you go. My name's Louise, and I've worked in the construction industry, I guess, for around 25 years, maybe more. I've known Mark for all of those years, maybe more. And we started working together, this SED, let's say SED, which was a site equipment demonstration, and we worked together there. And then I began to work with Peter again on construction machinery, plant works and subjects, and also when he was at Finning. And Nick I've worked with on earth movers and various different site visits doing stories on excavators, basically. So yeah, all about plant.
And Louise, you are client side. You're the sort of PR connection within the industry. So you actually work with us and other people. And so that's about the collaboration element, isn't it?
Yeah, I work with companies like Hyundai, the Construction Equipment Association, and more recently, XWatch. And it's my job to communicate. It's my job to get their news out there and find the best way of doing that and the best avenues to get their news out there and what they're doing. And that's, you know, we'll talk about that later on in the show. But it's changed from, you know, reams and reams of written word to very much digital.
Thanks very much, Louise. And we're popping over to Nick Drew of the Earth Movers Diggerman blog. And he's getting his face around on video a lot more nowadays. Nick, please introduce yourself and tell us where you come from, what you do, as they say.
Yeah, well, hi, I'm Nick Drew, obviously. And I guess I've come at this from a slightly different angle. Spent over 30 years as a machine operator, you know, driving excavators and stuff like that on sites, and got the opportunity to have a go at blogging back in 2008. And it's just snowballed from there, really. That was with Contract Journal. I moved on to the Construction Index website, which is where I first encountered Peter when we were doing work with Finning. He invited me out to Malaga, and obviously had some liaison with Mark in the past, sharing material and stuff like that, and working with Louise on with Highlander projects. So yeah, it's all good. And for me, it's all about talking about the machines and the operators. So you know, getting the message out there, basically.
And Nick, folks, is a prolific blogger, doing hundreds of blogs a year for the Earth Movers Diggerman blog, and also writes for the magazine. And now we have what I call the live lounge expert, Mark Anthony, who's coming in, been in the industry for longer than all of us, folks. It doesn't show because he's live every day in the week. Mark, tell us about yourself, because your history is really ingrained into the industry, but you're one of those people that has literally flown caution to the wind and is the live king of the plant sector. Please tell us what about yourself, please.
I thought you were going to call me a lounge lizard for a second there. Yeah, I'm Mark Anthony. I'm a 30 plus year career journalist writing about construction equipment, literally for the last 32, 33 years. across various magazines. And then in March last year, I came back from Las Vegas along on the same plane as Peter and Nick, and the world came to an end. The advertising team that I was working with on my Demolition magazine and Diggers and Dozers magazine went into lockdown. The printers went into lockdown, and I was left with no choice but to embrace live video and news video to deliver the message. And here we are, 350 odd episodes of those shows later, including, I think it's 146 as of today, 146 consecutive shows. So yeah, I was forced to embrace digital, but I'm glad I did.
And this is what it's all about, folks, because what I wanted to start this off, the three C's to me are about collective. Now, when you've got a collective, and we call ourselves, myself, Mark and Nick, the Construction Collective, we brought that ourselves together in Las Vegas Airport at Con Expo, praying we'd get home when the pandemic was in full flow in March 2020. But the collective is a really important part, what I believe, of communications and how people should look at communications in a sort of post-COVID and digital, post-digital even fact, world. And a collective really is about bringing the right people together that have the right audience, that have the right information, and that actually have the right attitude to work together. And I think what's really happened with that is how we've brought that together is working together to the strengths of what we do. My background, working for Finning and the Cat brand now for 15 years, previously with Finning for 13 years, was working with journalists as well. And now I've embraced podcasting and other things like that with the support of Nick, Mark and Louise. So that has helped me collectively do different things and be here today. So, Louise, I wanted to really talk to you first because you're somebody that's worked with us, but you've been working in the industry for clients a lot. And that kind of collective pull together, why has that worked well now? And why do you see that as something that is important for the future for other people that are working with clients like yourself?
If I start from the beginning, really, when the lockdown came and we were all sat at our desks, you know, just looking at our computer screens, and we were thinking, what can we do for our clients? Or I was thinking, what I can do for clients. You couldn't do site visits, obviously, because there was lockdown and everything. And then all of a sudden, there was this report from DataTag that theft had gone up 50%. And I thought, well, how can I get this message across to let everybody know that this is happening and what we can do about it? So that's when I got in touch with you, Peter, and said, you know, what can we do? And that's how the ball started rolling with the digital side of things. We did a podcast, a series of podcasts. I think, Mark, you featured it as well, didn't you? I think it was Million Earth Movers as well. So it was just basically a collective, all of us working together to get the message out there about plant theft, which the lockdown caused. Basically, there was a 50% rise in plant theft. So then I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, we've done this, maybe we could move it forward and start doing more digital and talking to influencers and key people in industry. And that's basically how it started. And I think that's sort of set a precedence now, really, that it's going forward, that's what people want to listen to. They want to listen to podcasts, they want to listen to opinions, they want to watch people. You know, it's not all about sitting down, you know, at your desk now reading reams and reams of paper. Then, you know, Nick, obviously you do, but you bring in video now much more, and it's great. I mean, it's brilliant. And you know, you talk to operators and we hear operators' opinions. So I think this COVID lockdown has really forced us into, you know, into digital and collaborating.
That's great, Louise. I think you're absolutely right there. But I think it's an attitude change. And what you did when you brought that as an issue to us as a collective was said, look, what can we do with this? And it was an open mind. And I think this is why I wanted to do this podcast, because I think a lot of people are still fixed in the traditional marketing and communication methods. And really, for me, we'll come on to the communication element in a bit. It's all about attitude and it's all about working together. And Mark and Nick have been those sort of people that have pulled together with me, and we share resources now and we share ideas. And I think, yeah, that's really made it very important. And I think one of the people that I've got to thank for this podcast is Mark, because he said, why are you like to talk, Peter? Why don't you do a podcast? And so, Mark, it's those kind of things, those kind of moments that really make a difference. Tell me about your thoughts on that sort of collective approach and how it's helped you, but also how it's helped bring things together. And I think, you know, by breaking the news like you do at 10 o'clock every morning, it's become a show that's like sit down with your cup of tea and it's the break fast show. But it's something that you're like, wow, this is new. How do I react in the day when I hear these things that Mark's telling us about?
Just going back slightly, I mean, I think traditionally construction equipment or construction magazines have largely done their industry a disservice. For as long as I can remember, my job was basically to get the scoop ahead of Nick Drew and ahead of Dan Jukes and the other people within the industry, which is all well and good, you know, and that's what journalists thrive upon, you know, the idea of getting a story that nobody else has got. But how is that serving the industry?
So, so Mark, you've done all of these lives, but really, you know, what does the collective word mean to you, and how has it changed the way in which you're working?
It seems like a strange place to start, but I guess the biggest benefit that I've seen from the collective is safeguarding my own well-being, if I'm being completely honest. I came back from Las Vegas and my business empire, such as it was crumbling around my ears. And to be able to pick up the phone to speak to Peter or Nick or Lou, you know, that's helped me through. You know, it really has, you know, and rather than sitting here saying, woe is me and not doing anything and maintaining my job, you know, everybody that we've got on the show today has basically prompted me to keep my chin up and get on and embrace new ways of doing things. And even things like, you know, the original Demolition Live show that I did, literally, I taught myself how to use the system over a weekend. And my first show, I thought, well, I could do with a guest basically to help me through this. Who do I call? I'll phone Peter because he's always got something to say for himself. And we've never looked back. You know, I think Peter's by far my most regular guest because he can deliver the necessary insight and enthusiasm. And, you know, he has become an integral part of the show. And more recently, I guess, because the show has got exponentially bigger, to be able to bring in, you know, reports from Peter out in the field, to bring in reports from Nick out in the field, and to be able to call Lou up and to say, you know, Lou, I need a piece of news on who's buying equipment or who's selling equipment. And I've got that resource literally at my fingertips because I've created for myself a very, very hungry beast to fill a 10, 15, sometimes 30 minute show every single weekday. It's quite an undertaking, and I literally couldn't do it on my own. I've got some backup here with my son who helps me behind the scenes with the video. But in terms of actually pulling together the information, I literally couldn't do it without the help of the three people that are also on this show as well.
And Mark, that's great to hear. And I think, you know, we've all, as individuals, because we sort of own our own businesses and our own direction, been able to, you know, really change the way we're doing things. And I think, you know, what really struck me, Mark, when we were ready to come to Vegas in that airport, when we're coming back and sitting down talking to me, was the few minutes before we actually all met up, when Nick Drew was accosted outside the toilets in Las Vegas airport by a guy that turned around and said, "Oh my God, you're Nick Drew. And I follow what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I've been reading your blog for ages." And there's Nick. I see him in the distance. He's going, "What on earth's going on?" You know, and he's talking to this guy because he knows Nick from social media and the blogging. Nick, that's the kind of thing that really stands out. And we had another example of that, Nick, at the Ritchie Brothers auction just a few days ago before this podcast recording. As someone from the Netherlands came up and said, "You're Nick Drew, I've been reading your stuff for 5 or 6 years." That is the impact you have as a blogger and as an operator, ex-operator, that actually talks the operator language, isn't it, Nick?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's been mind-blowing, really. You know, when you're not expecting that kind of thing, but it just shows you the reach that an individual can have. And now, collectively, we got, you know, it's going to be phenomenal what we can achieve and the audience we can reach. It's just going to be amazing. And it's nice to be a part of that as well.
And can I just interject there? I just to throw this in there. I was in Japan 2 years ago. Now, bearing in mind, I've been doing the job that I was doing for 30 plus years. You know, I'd like to think that a few people know me from my ability to occasionally string a sensible sentence together. But I met two Japanese people who knew me purely as that bloke off Instagram. And, you know, Now, bearing in mind, you know, I come from a print background when I was lucky, you know, at one point I was talking to an audience, a weekly audience of 44,000 people that I didn't know, I couldn't identify, couldn't recognise them if I passed them in the street. I'm now dealing with literally a global audience, you know, with the collective, we're close on like 800,000 people are tuning into the stuff that we're doing. And, you know, I mean, I did an Instagram TV live this week. Lou very kindly came on and took part in that, and we had people watching from Mexico, from Australia, from Brazil, New Zealand, Canada. I could never ever have imagined doing that in a purely print base.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's where the reach comes into play, and that's where I think the next C comes up, guys, that we've been talking about, which is collaborative. Because, you know, what we've been able to do with Louise, with the great example of the plant hire theft, and with other elements that we've been working on for JCB, for example, Bobcat, Case, etc., that have had their press launches and then we've gone live, and also to then report from the field. It really is a sort of collaborative approach where everybody has a role to play. Louise, that's really important, isn't it? Because we, you know, in your role, what you do is you open doors for us in the industry and you make sure the right people are in the right places and they're briefed correctly to actually make the content creation an easier thing for us to do. And that's happened a lot with the podcasts and now with the lives and stuff that you've got some of your clients on. And in particular, that collaborative nature means there's a trust element as well, isn't it? Tell me about that, Louise.
Well, without you guys, you know, I couldn't do what I do. You know, I work with these people and I need to get their message across, but without you guys I couldn't do that. So I have to rely on you guys to get the message across. And you've introduced me to some really great people, like, for example, Andy Street. I never would have got to meet Andy Street if it wasn't for you introducing me, Peter, and vice versa. I've introduced you to some of the senior members of the CEA, and you know, you get first dibs on interviews and things with the senior members. So it is all about collaboration. It is all about trust. I wouldn't come to you with something that I didn't believe in, because I wouldn't come to you with PR puffery. I'd come to you with something solid that I really believe in. So, and it's like, it didn't happen, but I'm sure it will happen with the Executive Hire Show. I was so keen to do, you know, to work with the Construction Collective on the Executive Hire Show TV, you know, the TV show in the morning and everything else, and broadcast live. Unfortunately, that was a victim of COVID, but we're going to revisit it again in October. And again, that is something I couldn't do without you guys. So it is all about working together and trust and believing in what, you know, believing in the subject and believing that it is, you know, it is worth talking about. It's a goer, basically. That didn't sound right, but I know what I mean.
Thanks, Louise. And I think, you know, that's one of the things why, you know, talking to people on a regular basis is so important. I mean, myself, Mark and Nick have got a WhatsApp group, which I don't think has more messages in that I've ever could dream of sending. But it's things about sharing information at all times of the day, because it's not a 9-to-5 job, is it, Louise? And I think we've all got to be there as communicators to do that and to push the information out, haven't we?
That's right. I mean, if you get an idea at sort of 10 o'clock at night or whatever, you know, we don't have to wait to let each other know that. We can just, you know, ring each other, text each other, or whatever, you know, rather than wait until the morning or whatever. And then it's already, you know, it's something that's all bubbling in our minds, you know, overnight type thing. And we can act on it. It's great. A good example is the skills thing we were talking about, and the shortage we were talking about on Mark's live Instagram show. Everyone joined in, and, you know, we've had talked about this before, but you know, we're going to have a new CEO at the CEA, and she's a real people person, and I'm really looking forward to working with all of you to start working on a real project to get the skills gap filled, basically. And it's through you guys we brought this to the, you know, to the forefront.
And these are important issues, Louise, that I haven't got it's here today, gone tomorrow. The skills shortage and the things we're talking about with carbon emissions, the things we're talking about with new equipment and things like that, aren't going away. And it's a longevity of that conversation that builds and brings things together. And I think that's where, you know, Nick, I'm going to bring you in here. I think that's where it's important that people understand how things are can be operated and the technologies and the things that people understand about attachments and new equipment. That's really important for them to have a trusted person that actually has operated for over 30 years and can give that operator and that owner operator or fleet manager the understanding of why you would pick something, Nick, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's, that's what it's all about. Yeah, getting the message out there to people, showing them, you know, the various attachments and all the rest of it, and just spreading the word, really. So.
And that's one of the really key points about the collaborative approach we've taken. Nick, you are able to report from site, aren't you, and talk to the operators and the people that matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing, part of what I do, really. It's nice to always talk to the operators, having come from that background. You know, it's one of my key points. I've got to speak to them, find out, you know, what they like and what they dislike about a particular machine or an attachment or whatever, and just getting their feedback, really. So,
you know, and that's perfect.
So
just one thing that's particularly important for me, what Nick does, is when we go to site to do site visits and visit the customer and talk to the operator, you know, they feel special. It's like, oh, you know, Earth Movers wants to talk to us. And it's, you know, they get a great sense of pride when they pick up the magazine in the next couple of months and there's in a big group of pictures of their wonderful machines and the operators being able to talk to, you know, to a fellow operator about, you know, how good or not so good the machine is. Yeah, it's added value for me, for my customers, that I've actually can take a journalist along to a site. And the same with you, Peter, when you come along to a site, and the same with you, Mark, you know, when you've done the demolition, you know, with the Rye demolitions and the other customers that use the Hyundai product, it's, you know, added value and it makes them feel special. And it's, you know, having those contacts is worth its weight in gold, really is.
And that's why, Louise, I think coming to you, Mark, now, I think the collaborative element is actually about what do real people think in real time. And that's what I've really seen Mark's shows have opened up a huge conversation with other people as well that are coming in from the likes of Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. And Mark, this is a part that we never really understood when you've got collaboration in the room, that you can get people to talk about things that we don't even know about. You know, you've had a lot of that experience. Tell me about that and how that's changed the way you do things. I mean, now you actually have a no agenda show, for example, for people to come talk to. But you've had some big shows where they've gone on for a long time. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you and I have actually hold the record. I think our longest show is 1 hour and 47 minutes. I will do the 2 hours at some point, and it probably won't be that long. I just going back to the collaborative thing, I think it's important to understand exactly what it is that we all bring to the party. I am a 30-year journalist. I'd like to think, you know, my spelling's pretty good. My grammar isn't half bad. But that's about where my skill set ends. I've never got into an excavator or a wheel loader and made any passing judgment on it because I'm not equipped to do so. Nick, however, is an operator. He could get in I know it's not his style, but if he got in at the cab of a machine and said, this is too cramped or it doesn't feel safe or it's unbalanced, I would take his word for it because he is the real deal. He is an operator. And Peter, you know, you bring to the party, obviously your PR background as well. But, you know, just the sheer enthusiasm, the number of connections that you've got, the people that you are able to. I mean, literally, I can phone Peter up and say, I want to discuss this subject on a show. Peter will click his fingers and somebody from his LinkedIn connections will jump on the show and they will be part of it. And, you know, that's absolutely vital because, as I say, I'm literally living hand to mouth in terms of news content because I've got to feed this beast on a daily basis. And I think there's one other thing that I will throw in. I've already mentioned the mental health. I've got a very nasty habit of shooting from the lip. That's always, you know, since I started working for myself and left a commercial publisher, I've always tended to deliver my news in a warts and all fashion. And I think Peter, over the past, certainly the last 18 months or so, has taught me to actually sort of take a step back and reflect. He says that sometimes I need to be a bit more vanilla. It's a bit of a standing joke between us, but he's absolutely right because my petty gripes and my personal slights from people within the industry That's got nothing to do with delivering the news. You know, people that are listening to my show or watching my show don't care about who upset me 3 weeks ago last Friday. They want the news, and they want it in a succinct and understandable way. And you know, that's been a real benefit, actually being at, having somebody to coach and mentor me in the background and make sure I keep on the straight and narrow.
And that's great to hear, Mark. And I think, you know, we bounce off each other, and that's what the collective and that's what collaboration is all about. And that's why it leads to the third C, folks. And I just want to put this together for the listeners at the moment. Communications. So communication is what we think we all do. But the thing is about communications is I perceive communications as being somebody shouting in an empty room. I see people preaching to people, and so therefore throwing information to them. But then we kind of walk, but then we move to a different type of communications. And this is where the collective collaborative element comes in to create the communications of the third C, because what we're able to do is actually talk to people, bring people through Louise into the conversation that are experts, that can communicate plant theft, that can communicate carbon issues and things like that in some of my podcasts. So they can communicate the information we want. We also have a scenario where we've got Nick Drew, who, like Mark has said, he knows how to do this stuff. He's sat in more machines than probably anybody else, any reporter on the planet. And basically, he knows what's good, what's wrong, and he knows what the operators want to understand because he has been an operator. So he can communicate the things that are important to him. When we are doing this in print, which is great, people can sit down and read it. When we're doing this in video, it's brilliant because we live in a mobile equipment world. So people want to see stuff digging and moving and everything like that, and pictures. We can also then sit in the car or sit in the lounge room of somebody who's got their headphones on listening to a podcast that actually informs and educates them. So that's great. And these communication elements have come along and developed. But what's really interesting about the Construction Collective and how we work is that actually we work together to create content that's shareable on all of our platforms and that's also actually shareable with different types of people. So when you look at the equipment choices, you're looking at people that might make a technology decision, you're looking at people that might make an attachment decision. They all want that information, but we can collect it all in one site visit and deliver it out there, and we can even ask the questions that people want. So that's great. So us, yes, that's fine. That's not where we're heading. That's where the three C's becomes really important, because where we're heading with communications is actually to get communication back from the people that matter. And that's the third element of communications, which I think people have got to stand up and look at and say, where's my digital strategy? Where's my communications strategy? And am I actually throwing communications out there, or am I actually communicating with a community that actually I want to engage with? And that's where the live shows come in. That's where Nick Drew's comments on his Facebook posts and his Instagram posts come in, because we're hearing from the people in the industry. They're asking us questions, and with the lives that we've done with press launches, myself and Mark, they're asking us to ask questions to the people live that are there in front of us about the actual products or about the services. And that's, for me, is where we need to move to. That's the journey that the industry needs to take, to have communications with people and involve people. And that's why I really wanted to do this podcast today, because that's where we're at now. Mark mentioned a live show, an hour and 45 minutes. It wasn't me and Mark talking for an hour and 45 minutes. It went on for an hour and 45 minutes because we had question after question after question that we felt obliged to put to the people that we were interviewing, because that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make something interactive so that people feel that they get value out of it. And so this is why I hope you've enjoyed this particular podcast. But I wanted to really get the final elements in the communications piece from my three guests here. And again, Louise, I will start with you, because the world has changed. We all have to change with it. And those that are doing what you're doing, Louise, are going to be winning for their clients, but more importantly, going to be winning for the people that want to buy or engage or learn about different things. What are your thoughts on the final C of the three C's, Louise?
Well, I think when you're working with clients, you have to have a client that embraces this new technology in the digital age. You know, there are, you know, you have to educate them that this is the way forward, because if, you know, if they're not comfortable in front of a camera or they're not comfortable on a podcast, you know, it doesn't work. So you have to educate your clients to move this forward and get them on these podcasts and videos, etc. And I just think it is just completely the way forward. It's like I said earlier, we like to watch, we like to listen. And with your customers, instead of, you know, as I say, writing down is absolutely fabulous, but actually having your customer stand in front and talk about their product, or not even about their product, it could be a subject they're knowledgeable about, like the hydrogen. You know, it's like when you phone me and said, do you know anybody who knows much about hydrogen? Oh, yes, of course I do. I'll phone Dave up and Dave will talk to you about hydrogen. So again, it's that working together. You know, and I said to you, oh, I need somebody to talk to me about something. I can't even remember what it was now, but it was an important subject, and you put me in touch with
sustainability.
Sustainability, that was it. You put me in touch with James, sustainability. And it's all of that, you know, the collaboration, working together, moving forward, and just embracing the whole new age. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's just, this COVID whole scenario has just changed my perspective on the whole PR thing. It really has. It's such a different world now that we live in. And I just think we've got to just embrace it and follow it and encourage our clients, or particularly my clients that I work with, to this is the way forward. Let's be modern.
Fantastic.
If that is even the right word.
Yeah, well, let's just go with it. You know, I do a lot of work with Nick, been doing a lot this week with Nick, actually, where we go and we help each other and we film each other. We do interviews and stuff like that. But one thing that's always struck me about Nick is the literal pindemic that he gets on his phone, because what Nick is doing with that communications is the two-way thing. Yes, he's obviously got videos on and things like that now, but lots and lots of people, Nick, ask you questions, and you spend an awful lot of your time out of normal working hours communicating with people, sending messages, dealing with things on the Facebook page, your Instagram. You know, talk us about the volume of that and the kind of thing that you're able to do. And people are making purchasing decisions basically on a line from you on Instagram.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's really stepped up since the pandemic started. And I think it was, it's March 2020 when we were in Las Vegas, wasn't it? And I think since I've come back from there, I've churned out about 396 blog posts. That's just blog posts alone. Then, of course, those blog posts, I spread them everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the rest of it, and it's just constantly snowballing. And then you've got, you know, people are, as you say, asking questions on the various platforms, and you feel obliged, you know, because you've put it out there, you want to try and help these people if they've got a question you want to answer them. And, yeah, you can spend a lot of time doing it. You know, I love doing what I do, so I'm quite happy to do that. You know, with now with us working together with the live shows and everything, it's just going to go on and on, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, and more people that we speak to now are really interested in what we're doing, which is exciting, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And you've only got to see that how desperate people were to get a bit of Nick Drew when you went to Let's Recycle Live this week at Stoneleigh. And literally, I was like, you know what, Nick, I'll catch up with you later, because he was swamped by people all wanting a piece of him and all wanting to talk to them about their products. And that's because people know you have the audience and that you do that two-way communications, isn't it, Nick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these people, they know they're going to get a good response from stuff that I'm posting and that we post as a collective. So it's all good and positive, in my opinion.
And Nick, yeah, we're getting you on your first podcast here today, which is absolutely fantastic. And folks, he's going to be more on live shows. Yes, he's reports from the field, but we're going to get him onto the live shows as well. And Mark, this is why I wanted to come to you last, really. You know, for me, I think as a communicator that has been in PR and done all these different things for a long time, the biggest rush I have ever had in my entire life was actually coming on the first real big live show. I did not know what I was doing, and we just went for it. And then the second big rush is when your sound went off on one of the live shows, and I had to ad lib for about 20 minutes thinking it was never going to come back. But Mark, that whole thing about all of the communication elements that come from that, you know, the people that give you and send you information, and also the way in which you interpret that and make it visually impactful as well, it's all been part of that learning curve that you've been on to do, you know, all of these live shows. I mean, yourself and Nick, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pieces of content. That communication development is something where everything has gone probably right and everything has gone wrong in using the systems and things. But the learning that you've gone through in that, Mark, really is now so much more valuable to people that want to embrace communications in this way, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'm 56 years old, and I'm very proud of the fact that I managed to teach this old dog new tricks. I transitioned from pure print to almost pure digital. I'm very proud of that. But the thing I'm probably proudest of is things like the shows that we've done with the likes of JCB. As you rightly said, Peter, you know, I ask the journalistic questions. You ask the technology and human interest questions. You're very, very good at doing that. But when we opened up the airwaves and let the other operators that were watching, and we're talking hundreds of operators asking questions, I've never been more proud, because they are asking the sort of questions that somebody like Nick might be able to answer or may be able to ask. Real, real insightful, really detailed, really technical. And you know, Peter, you know, after we'd finished that show, we actually had emails from the senior guys at JCB who actually thanked us for getting that sort of feedback, because nobody else could do that, and you could certainly never do that in print. And I guess my final point on this, and I was thinking about this before we came on the show today, the industry itself, the construction equipment industry itself, is currently on the cusp of a very, very big change. We're switching from diesel to an alternative fuel, whether that be electric or hydrogen or biodiesel. But there is an absolute paradigm shift happening within the industry that we serve. There is also a paradigm shift happening in the industry in which we actually operate. You know, with the notable exception of earth movers, because I like to see what they're up to and I like to see what you guys are writing, I honestly can't remember the last time I even opened a magazine that wasn't my own. But I listen to podcasts daily and I watch YouTube every single night, 7 days a week. So, you know, if you're a manufacturer or a dealer or a plant hire or a tool hire company, anybody else within this industry, you need to understand that the world has changed. Magazine publishers are not the link to the industry. Digital and social media is the link to the industry. And Lou rightly said, people are going to have to get used to dealing with podcasts, dealing with video, and to be more open and more embracing of that technology, because there is no way we're going back. COVID isn't over, but the need for the lockdown is largely over and done with. But nobody is rushing back to those old means of delivering messages. You know, people would much rather sit down and watch a video. And the very reason that I encouraged Peter to start the podcast in the first place, the very reason I did mine in the first place, it's the only medium that doesn't require you to stop. If you need to read one of my articles, you need to stop what you're doing. If you need to watch one of my videos, you need to stop what you're doing. But a podcast, you put your headphones in, you can walk the dog, do the ironing, drive to work, take a train journey. You can consume information and learn things and be entertained and enlightened without taking your hands off the steering wheel. And that is a completely different way of receiving news and delivering news. And that's the way we're going.
That's brilliant, Mark. Thanks so much for that insight. I totally agree with you. You've got me hooked into podcasts, you know, and there's a lot of people doing that globally that I'm learning new things all the time with podcasts. The one thing that really struck me, it stood out, I think there was 42,000 views of a share that I did on LinkedIn of somebody that literally sent me a note on LinkedIn, tagged me into a post saying, got fed up of listening to all the negative news on the radio, tuned into Peter Haddock's podcast, and I absolutely love it. And all I did was share that, and I must have shared that at the right time, because that's one of my best ever posts that has no images or video in it. But that individual actually took the time to then say thank you. And that's the one thing that I think we've really experienced a lot of in this change in the way in which we're doing things. We have had thank yous. It's very difficult to quantify how anybody can feel when you say thank you to them. But my God, when somebody turns around and says thank you to me, I've listened to that, I've learned something, I really appreciate your time, that means everything to me. Because, you know, and somebody waves at Nick and goes, all right, Nick, come over here. And Nick spends the time talking to them, you know, whilst you're running out of battery on your camera. Fine, you know, but it all works because we as a four, we so love this industry and we so want it to do well and the people in it to do well. And we need to do that because, like Mark said on his show this morning, we need over 400,000 more people to come into the construction industry to deliver the projects we already know about in the next 3 to 4 years. So we need to shout, we need ambassadors, and we need to do the best we can. And I think that's why, you know, I wanted to do this podcast to explain to people, this is our way of thinking. This is our way of working. We've learnt how to teach ourselves the three C's. We've worked together. We've actually challenged each other. And we've had a lot of laughs with it and a lot of laughs with the audience at the same time. And I can remember one of my biggest gaffes that I've done is said that people could earn X amount of money being an operator. That was actually for a day. No, it wasn't. It was for a year. But that was my biggest gaffe, which actually I'll remember until the day I die. But this is all about why. If you are thinking about your communication strategy, if you're thinking about how you can reach people, if you are talking to your senior team about, hey, we need you to do this and, you know, we need you to get trained. One, myself and Louise can do crisis management training and we can also do interview training and things like that. We're there to do that and support people down this road. Obviously, we've got the biggest live man in the room, Mark Anthony, and we've got Nick Drew, who is on site talking to the people that actually matter when you are designing your equipment, your attachments, your things for the industry. They're going to give you the honest opinions, whether you're getting it wrong or you're getting it right. And Nick is that person that can do that. And to collectively have an audience of over 800,000 followers is insane. But for us to be able to create content with people like Louise and their clients to put it out in a positive way and also to get the feedback is really invaluable. So the three C's for me, folks, collective, collaborative communications are why I've sat here on a Friday evening with four of us, with the three of us to have a conversation that I think would be hugely valuable to those people in the industry. I want to thank you, Louise, for coming on. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Nick Drew, the Earth Movement's Digger Man blogger, for coming on. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And I want to thank Mark Anthony, the Live King, for coming on to the show and sharing his thoughts. Thanks very much, Mark.
Not a problem, Peter. Can I just throw in, you can edit this out if you need to, just one thing. You just mentioned that the fact that the industry is going to require another 425,000 workers per year within the next 3 years. We need to attract young people, male and female. If we're going to attract young people, do we really think we're going to be doing that through old school magazines, or do we really think that we're going to be doing it through digital means? The people that we're trying to attract to the industry are on Instagram, they're on YouTube, they're on Facebook. That's where they live. We've got to take that message to them. And that's where the Construction Collective comes in.
Thanks, Mark. That's a great thing to end on there, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast brought to you by Content with Media and the Construction Collective with our guest, Louise Carney, who is one of the industry's best communicators I've ever worked with. That's a wrap from me, folks. It's goodbye. And make sure you're out there listening to this. Make sure you stay safe. Look after yourself and your family. And until the next time, goodbye.